This is SR1.
The Rob Carter Show.
All right, everybody, here we go. Today is Sunday, January 14th, 2024. I missed that last week. I said 2023, and not everybody noticed, thank God. Yeah. Very embarrassing that I got it wrong.
And I missed it when I was working on it. I should have caught it.
Too funny.
My fault.
A lot of news that I want to get to. A lot of things I want to comment on. You have Donald Trump doing his town hall on Fox News. I don't understand that. I'm going to get to it in just a minute. Then you have the Nikki Haley's of the world with Ron DeSantis on CNN. I love how all of these candidates call it fake news, but then continue to use their formats to get out a contrived message. It is absolutely and totally absurd when you really think about it, but I guess people can't think about it. It's too complicated. They don't understand that Fox News won't talk about stolen elections, so we go on their format and do town halls. We know that CNN lied about 9,000 things in 2016 through 2020 and continue to lie to people today, but we still use their forms for the GOP debates. I want somebody to make sense of it for me because it makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm going to get to all of the. I want to explain what I see going on between the establishment media and the establishment in D.C. because it is one and the same. They work together. It's in tandem. It's not that difficult to understand. You just can't wrap your brain around it because you're so conditioned to believe that we have a press. What we have is Pravda. We have a media establishment that is there to protect the politicians. They get us fighting over the politicians. We fight, and they're partying down. Trust me when I tell you, both sides, it's not just Democrats and Republicans. It is the media establishment and the one-party system in D.C. That's how it rolls. Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. I want to make mention of that. Martin Luther King, if you go back to the 60s, and I was talking to Phil, we were talking about it earlier, in order to get society right again, there has to be leadership outside of the political arena. Somebody who is not trying to make a ton of money off the system, somebody who just wants to put this train back on the track. Because right now, this government and this media establishment, our schools, our borders, nothing is on track anymore. And we got to fix it. And it's not going to be fixed within the political system. It's going to be fixed from outside the political system with enormous pressure on the system. That's how it will be fixed. One more thing I want to talk about, too. Did you recognize, I don't know how many people out there were frustrated last night when they found out that the Kansas City Chiefs game was on Peacock and you had to pay $5.99 to watch the Chiefs and the Dolphins play last night. The NFL, the commissioner is Roger Goodell. His father was aligned with the Rockefellers. This is a big club and you ain't in it. They just ripped off all their fans for $5.99 because they are greedy, selfish pigs. I give you Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for an example, selling Pfizer throughout every game on ESPN, and we're going to get the ESPN and the entire media establishment. Let's get that started right now. This is from Emerald Robinson. Emerald Robinson was on Newsmax. Now she works for Mike Lindell. She put this out on Twitter/X. 4 years ago, Fox News told you election fraud was not real. 3 years ago, Fox News told you the clot shots were safe. Last year, Fox News got caught donating to the Satanic Temple. If you are still watching it in 2024, you're not gonna make it. I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly right. And the Satanic Temple thing, if you don't know, they were matching donations to certain things up to $1,000, and they gave $1,000 to the Satanic Temple. Make of that what you will. This is from Chuck Castillo. He's another he is another reporter on X. This is about Fox News. Fox News cancels Mike Lindell. After 10 years of advertising, Fox News has now bowed to the mob and canceled MyPillow advertisements. Mike has done so much for the America First movement and was destroyed for it. Mike was canceled by almost every big box store following the 2020 election in an effort to silence him. I don't know what to make of all this with Fox News. I just... I keep telling people in my life, the more you watch it, the more brainwashed you will become. They create narratives that everybody in the press, whether it be radio stations, independent news sources, everybody picks up on these narratives and beats them to death. And I think my show, and the reason it will eventually begin to grow and make sense to people, is I don't even pay attention to the Fox News narratives because I know what they are. The narratives are aimed to make Democrats and Republicans fight, conservatives and liberals, Republicans on Republicans, Democrats on Democrats, so long as they're creating chaos and the people that vote in the rigged elections are fighting with one another, they got the system cornered. It's when you turn your attention to the system that you know is fraudulent and you are motivated to make a change in it, that's when things will begin to happen. And it is, I get so frustrated watching Fox News, I think it is an absolute joke. Let me go through a couple other things here. Media hoaxes, just to give you an idea. These are the media hoaxes that were, they were exacerbated by corporate media. Corporate media is a destructive force within our society. People must recognize it. They have to turn it off. Every time you see a television on Fox News or CNN, you should roll your eyes at it because it is agenda-driven news. And the agenda is not to make the United States and America a better place to live. It's not to strengthen your pocketbooks or your families. It is to continually keep you in narratives that keep you fighting. And you can decide whether that's good or bad. Russia collusion. That was one of the mainstream media hoaxes. How about Jussie Smollett? Remember, he went on ABC and started crying about the Trump supporters that beat him up. Bubba Wallace, NASCAR. Remember that story? There was a noose hanging in the garage, and because all of the NASCAR guys are also ran by the same corporations, they had to get out and walk along the track and go down to one knee, and it all turned out to be just a regular old rope hanging that had nothing to do with anything. It was a pull. Ridiculous. The Covington kids. Remember that story? Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot. Let me say that again because Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot.
That's a tough one.
It is. Kavanaugh rape. Remember how they beat that up? The Trump pee tape. The border agents whipped migrants. Trump saved nuclear secrets at Mar-a-Lago. The Steele dossier. Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. These are all narratives that the press push. Just don't, they lie to you day in, day out, every day, all day, morning, noon, and night. And then your presidential candidate on the right goes on Fox News with Martha McCallum and Brett Baer for a town hall. You can't make it up. Muslim ban. Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Andrew Cuomo, best COVID leadership of all time. Trump built cages for migrant kids. Trump overfed koi fish in Japan. Build back better will pay for itself. Trump tax cuts only benefited the rich. Cloth masks prevent COVID. If you get vaccinated, you won't catch COVID. That was a big one. Remember that one? They were all in on that one. Every single one of them was on that, and they still are to this very day. You have to wonder why. SUV killed parade marchers. Remember that when the wrong colored person ran over 8 people in Wisconsin? They said, well, it was just an SUV. The headlines were SUV runs over 8 people. Trump used tear gas to clear a crowd for a Bible photo. Don't say gay bill was in the bill. Ivermectin is horse dewormer and not for humans. Now, the ivermectin situation, we'll bring that up later on in the show. But the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine game that the press and the establishment used to make sure that you had no treatments for COVID and millions of people around the world died because they weren't being treated with simple medicines, you would think that would bother people. You would think that people would say, no, that is just that's a bridge too far. But apparently not, because they can move us on to the next narrative. If you haven't figured out your brainwashed yet, maybe this broadcast will help you figure it out. Mostly peaceful protests. Remember when the guy's walking and it's in Minneapolis and behind him are fires raging and everything awesome. He goes, they're mostly peaceful protests. That guy was from CNN, where the GOP just held their debate with Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Cannot make it up. Officer Sicknick was murdered by protesters. Remember that? He got beat over the head with a fire extinguisher. Then you figure out the next day he died of a heart attack, had nothing to do. He was never beaten, never anything. He just died of a stroke or a heart attack the next day, probably vaccinated. January 6th was an insurrection, and they are beating that drum even to this day. An insurrection in America, the most armed society on planet Earth in the history of Earth, decided to overthrow the government and not bring any guns, and you still have to argue this with people with college degrees. Trump mocked a reporter's disability. Remember that? The only problem with that is he had done it 17, 18 times prior to that. It was a movement that he used to show dishevelment. But because one of the reporters was handicapped, all of a sudden that was big news. He was mocking the disabled. I could go on. I mean, that's some of them, but I could go on and on for days. This is the media that your government holds their debates on. Why? Doesn't anybody ask themselves how absurd this is, and maybe we need to get to the bottom of why we continue to have CNN and Fox News as our primary sources of information? Do you think anything's ever going to get better with this system? Until you have a free citizens press that is not destroyed for giving real news, who is not censored for giving actual news, and who is not mocked as conspiracy theorists by simply tying two or three points together that are obvious. At some point, I think it must change. I want to go to The View right now. Actually, I want to start with Trump before we go to The View. Clip number 6-1, this was at the town hall debates. This is Donald Trump. And for Donald Trump supporters, if you're on the other side of Donald Trump, if you're following X and Instagram and all of these different forms of social media, the people that don't like Donald Trump but are still Republicans, they blew a gasket over this. I have been bringing this to people's attention for a long time. Donald Trump is responsible for the COVID-19 response, period. He was the president of the United States. I don't care if he was misled. If he was misled to drop atomic bombs on Canada and kill 5 million people, do you go, well, I mean, the generals told him that Canada was going to, they were going to come across the border and kill all of us Americans. No, you'd say you're the president. You're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for the people you listen to. You, sir, are responsible. I'm not saying that everybody should stop supporting Donald Trump. I'm just telling you, why will the man not take responsibility for what is so blatantly obvious we have to play pretend? It's bananas. Clip number 6-1. Go.
I'm a federalist in a sense, because that's the federalist way. No, I didn't actually have a shutdown, despite the fact that some people wanted to and some people didn't want to. But we had some great governors. The governors that did the best job were Republican governors, and they were the ones that didn't shut down.
Trump didn't have a shutdown. It wasn't him that got on television and said, we're going to shut down society 2 weeks to stop the spread. Then he extended it another 2 weeks. And then we went down to the stage one, stage two, stage three. He's not the one walking around on TV with a mask on. He was not the one holding rallies when everybody was supposed to be dying of COVID. And he's got people coming to his rallies shoulder to shoulder. That didn't happen. You must all forget that. That was completely a part of your imagination that did not go down. And he has no responsibility for it whatsoever. If you had somebody die when they went into a hospital with something they could have been treated for, that wasn't Donald Trump's fault. That wasn't his administration's fault. That was Dr. Fauci's fault. Trump had nothing to do with any of it. Clip number 658. So I just want to go back in time because I remember what Donald Trump said. I actually care what the man said because COVID-19 was one of the most destructive things that have ever happened in our society. It destroyed businesses. It fractured the minds of our children. It split families. It split businesses. It split coworkers. It was a disaster of historic proportions, and we're acting like it didn't happen. This is clip number 58. Trump saying that Governor Kemp in Georgia opened up too early. Go.
I told the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, that I disagree strongly with his decision to open certain facilities which are in violation of the phase one guidelines for.
So what Donald Trump is Donald Trump is wise enough and cunning enough to understand that if he takes both sides of every issue, that you'll just agree with the one you want to agree with. If he says he didn't shut down society and he gave it to the governors, well, he did. But then they could withhold money. They could destroy him in the press. They could do whatever they wanted to do. And that is what caused all of the friction within society. Don't we all remember? Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? I try to explain this the best, and we're going to stay on the media. I'm going to go a whole other segment, maybe even two on the media, because I want to drive the point home that the politicians in power and the media establishments work in coordination to keep you and I fighting as we're defending the politicians, because the media does not hold them accountable for the things that matter. Segment number two, we're going to get right back into it. We'll be right back.
The Rob Carter Show.
We get these pills to swallow. How they stick in your...
SR1 Sundays. The Rob Carter Show.
All right. I get a little worked up because I'm doing my very level best to make a case that we're all being manipulated. And we all think we're right. But we are going to continue down the path of divide. We're all going to be divided. We're all going to be fighting with one another until we figure out that there is a system that is working to manipulate our perceptions. Let me move right into, I mentioned it earlier, The View. Arguably the dopiest show ever invented on planet Earth.
I don't know about arguably, but definitely.
Maybe. Okay. I was trying to be arguably in case there was one person who happened to listen to this nonsense, this dribble.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that there are women on it. It has everything to do with the fact they have women run it so that you can't be dismissive of it. You get it? You see how it works? I mean, it's just really obvious what they do. I mean, good Lord.
But
this is what I mean about the way the media manipulates the minds of people. If you say that The View is a dopey show, it is ridiculous, and is nothing but pure political propaganda wrapped up in entertainment, then you don't like women. Then you think all women are stupid. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this particular show and that group of women are sellout propagandists. That's what they are. You know it. If you just pay attention to it at all. I want to get into this clip. This is Whoopi Goldberg. She has Liz Cheney. Remember Liz Cheney, her father? Big Dick Cheney, who used to be, can I not say that? His name is Dick. His name is Dick Cheney. I mean, I can't help that his name, and he is a large man from what I understand. So Dick Cheney, Iraq War Dick Cheney, one of the most conservative people that's ever roamed the earth. His daughter, Liz Cheney, by the way, from Dick Cheney from Yale. Liz Cheney she was a hero on the right for a long time. She had presidential aspirations, but now all of a sudden she's on the J6 committee. She's taking down Trump because January 6th was just so brutal. Oh, my God. It was the worst thing since 9/11 and the Second World War. This is the way they try to describe it. So Whoopi Goldberg has Liz Cheney on The View, ABC. Now, remember ABC. I want to preface this because we're going to get into ESPN here in just a minute. Disney, ESPN, and ABC are all the same thing. So all of the information you're going to get out of those three particular entities are all going to come from the same point of view. And if you cross the line of their point of view, you will be gone. That's how they like to roll at Disney. Free speech is only free speech if you fall in line with the corporate overlords. That's how they like to roll. Here is clip number, where is Whoopi? Whoopi is clip number 6-4. Listen very carefully because she says if Donald Trump wins the next rigged election, that will be the last election that we ever have. Check this out.
Do you see yourself and would you ever consider being the conduit to that third party? Because I don't know if the Republican Party as we knew it will survive this. Because if he ever gets in again, we'll never have any more elections. There will be no more. He will stop it. And he's very clear about that. He
very
wants
clear.
To be dictator for life.
Very clear. Talks about it all the time.
So I never. Wonder, would you ever consider, please, would you please consider being that person? Because I got to tell you, I was really... I don't understand how people can say, we're with you, we're with you, we're with you, and then when you need them, they go, oh, but we're with him now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that, and I don't understand how you find the grace not to be pissed at folks.
Oh, I'm
you're not. You're mad at them, but you're not pissed at them, because if you were pissed at them, you would have given up on them, and you haven't.
Well,
and so, would you?
Look, Lise, I think that...
I'm begging you.
That's enough.
I'm on one knee.
Who could possibly care what Liz Cheney's answer is? Because what I want to explain, and this is just pure observation that it seems obvious, but for some reason it doesn't get to the top floor of a lot of people who watch this nonsense. Liz Cheney is a Republican conservative. She goes on ABC with the wonderful hosts of The View, and this creates a perception. The perception from the liberal audience who hates Donald Trump is, okay, here we got a hardcore conservative Republican establishment. She's going to come on here and talk about how Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. So it adds credibility to their argument. And they could say, didn't you see Liz Cheney? What do you think? Liz Cheney is a liberal? What do you think, Liz Cheney? This is the argument that they can make on the liberal side. And that's why they do it. It adds credibility to a ridiculous argument. And that's how the game is played. And I would ask you conservatives, if Liz Cheney is a conservative, why on God's green earth would she be going on The View? And not just shredding The View, but making lovey-dovey to them, and they're all clapping for each other. It's insanity. It is staged propaganda at a very high level, and it's across all of your cable news. All of your cable news. And if you listen to radio people, if you just pay attention to radio people, they get their information from Fox News. I gave you all the hoaxes. Or CNN, those narratives trickle down all the way to the ground. They start at the top, they end up on your television sets, they end up in social media, and then they end up on your radio stations, your local news. It's just one big bunch of crap. And until we get into real news, until we start to recognize it, we're going to be stuck there. And I'm not giving trouble to Republicans, to conservatives, or to Democrats and to liberals. I'm saying you're getting gamed. Your focus is on their narratives. We need them to focus on your narratives. So if Fox News isn't interested in elections, then you don't need Fox News, because that's the number one priority. If you can't vote out criminals within your own government, then we don't have a free society, we don't have a republic, we don't have anything. And again, I want to remind you, I'm going to say it until it seeps into the mind. Rasmussen polling, and I'm not a big polling fan again, but I'm just saying, 65% of the American public does not have confidence in their elections, and yet nobody within the system is trying to foolproof elections, which we're going to get to in segment number 3. I want you to focus on the media complex, because this is supposed to be the check on power. But when they merge, as it is so obvious that they have, then power turns into tyranny, which is what we have now. Which is why you have January 6th protesters in solitary confinement in a DC gulag, and nobody coming to their defense. In fact, Mike Pence, I got a clip of him. He thinks everything's just fine. The FBI told him everything's on the up and up, and why would he ever question the FBI? It's too much. I was with my son and my father having dinner. And my son, I'm doing a sports show, as I've made very clear. I'm going to do a sports show as well, because I'm a savant at things that I pay attention to. And I'm a savant with politics, the shoe business, and sports, because that's all my feeble brain can handle. So we were talking about Pat McAfee. Now, Pat McAfee, if you don't know, he was a former punter for the Indianapolis Colts. And he decides he's going to get into media. And as he says, all of his friends thought he was crazy. And he is by far the best sports show host in America. As far as I'm concerned, it's not even really that close. And you can tell the ESPN believes that as well, because Game Day, one of their big college football shows, he sits in the center seat. He's Elvis on Game Day, which is one of their biggest shows. They put him right there in the middle. The first time I saw him, I'm like, who is this guy? I thought he was a guest. Turns out he's the lead guy now for College Game Day on ESPN, owned by Disney. Now he has his own show on ESPN. He has his own podcast, and all the young kids are listening to it because he's terrific. He's funny. He's entertaining. He's energetic. He's the best, as far as I can tell. Well, he has Aaron Rodgers on his show as a regular. And for you non-sports fan, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets and a Hall of Famer. One of the best quarterbacks that has ever lived, came from the Green Bay Packers, got hurt the very first game of the season this year. So he is sitting out, and he has plenty of time to go on these sports talk show hosts platforms. So he is a regular on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN. And Aaron Rodgers did not take the COVID-19 gene therapy / vaccine. And he was humiliated in the public by guys like Jimmy Kimmel and all these talk show hosts and, you know, all the con artists out there. They started giving him a load of you-know-what. So he goes on and he takes the opportunity to go on the Pat McAfee show and inform sports people who are listening to the show about the con that was COVID. And he lays out all of the information that is now accepted by everybody, and it started to cause a problem because ESPN is owned by Disney, who is controlled by Pfizer. If you watch anything on ESPN, you're going to see 17 Pfizer commercials every couple hours with Travis Kelce with the Band-Aid on his arm. And, you know, you can get your flu shot and your COVID shot at the same time. Brought to you by Pfizer. It's all day long. So Pfizer and Disney and ESPN are one big It's a business venture, if you will. And it doesn't matter whether the vaccines work or whether they're dangerous. It creates money. Therefore, we support it. We don't care if it kills people. We don't care if it gives people heart attacks or it breaks down their immune system or they just don't work at all. As long as the corrupt government says that it works, well, then we'll sell it on ESPN and we'll make a bunch of money. Pat McAfee is told by ESPN that they don't like Aaron Rodgers coming on there and destroying the vaccine myth that it actually works or is not dangerous. And he starts to cite the data. Oh, and this is, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is not a Trump fan and never was. And he was kind of despised by people on the right because he was critical of Donald Trump in the past. But he's not going after Donald Trump. He goes after Fauci a lot on this particular show. He is told that that's enough. Aaron Rodgers has to go. I'm sitting with my son and my father, and I asked my boy about it. I said, what do you think about this? He goes, well, he goes, you know, that's the biggest show. He goes, and Pat McAfee told him to stick it. You know, they're going to have Aaron Rodgers on there. And I said, well, the way I understand corporations is it will be Pat McAfee goes or Aaron Rodgers goes, but it will not be Aaron Rodgers talking about how dangerous Pfizer shots are on ESPN. That's not going to go down. And as you might expect, Pat McAfee came out the next day and said Aaron Rodgers will no longer be on the show. He did not want to have to deal with all the controversy about the vaccines. With free speech comes consequences, is the way he puts it. It's absolute. There's nowhere else to go. That's the problem. Well, if you're in network news and you want to get out a message, it's streamlined. It doesn't matter whether it's NBC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, whatever it is. When it comes to certain topics like elections and vaccines and global warming, well, they're all pulling in the same directions. Fox News will give you a little bit of pushback on global warming. They'll say, well, all the science is, it's a hoax. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. But they try to give it credibility just so, you know, they know that their listeners and their watchers don't like it. So they kind of toe the line and they won't just say, listen, you know, day in and day out, all their hosts going, you know, we're just not going to put up with the Green New Deal and we're getting off of oil because we're saving the planet. We can't have cows anymore and we can't take flights anymore and we can't do anything anymore. We have to destroy modern society because carbon emissions are going to destroy the earth. It's insane. I want to play this clip. This is just to give you an example of what was going down on ESPN, the Pat McAfee show with Aaron Rodgers. Clip number 6-2. This will give you an idea of what Aaron Rodgers was trying to do on ESPN to inform people that wouldn't normally pay attention to Pfizer shots and the COVID con job. Check this out.
In order for the vaccines to get emergency authorization, emergency use authorization, right, the EUA, this is what people don't understand. It had to be that there were zero early treatments that worked against COVID, right? So what did Dr. Fauci say? There was nothing. There was nothing they could do. All they did, this is the protocol. Somebody gets sick, right? Send them home till they got really horrible symptoms, and then bring them back and put them on remdesivir, which is $3,000 per dose, and a ventilator. And the statistics are staggering about people who went, especially on ventilators, especially the elderly. And it's devastating and extremely sad.
Yeah, it is extremely sad. It should be criminal, you would think, to go out and use the media and the politicians and the CDC and the FDA and all of these criminals, in my opinion, to go out and say, yeah, take this medicine. We don't know how it's going to treat you. We don't know if it works. We don't know anything about it. We're going to tell you that it's safe and effective, although there's no evidence to prove that. And again, if you remember when they started, it was the most effective vaccine in the history of the world, and it was 95% effective, then it was 80% effective, then it was 50% effective, then it wasn't effective at all. It would just reduce your stay in the hospitals. And now we got blood clots and turbo cancers all over the country, and the hospitals are filling up again. That is reality, should we ever decide we want to live in it. But I, for one, just can't take it anymore. I'm getting depressed by society not taking their country back into their own hands. Segment number three, we're going to get into elections. We'll be right back.
The Rob Carter Show. Can we film the operation? Is the head dead yet? You know the boys are one Sundays. SR1 Sundays.
Kind of ease me back into this segment. Is that what's going on?
You got to take your time, man. You got to let it develop.
The Rob Carter Show.
Here it comes.
There we go.
Stay with me.
I like it. You are the music, man.
These guys are going to be huge.
One of these days. See, it's just cutting in too much time. I got to get right back into it, Phil.
Sometimes you got to relax, man.
I can't.
I think Jeff Fallon would agree with me.
I cannot relax. Let me get in. I got to, before I even get into the elections, I was just thinking, I Fox News, how do I convince people that it's not news? How do I convince people that they give news, but it's not really news? It's just narratives. And I thought to myself, maybe if I explain it like this, because this is what everybody knows, right? The Republicans, Fox News is their station. That's what the Republican voters, it's Fox News is their station. Well, that's because it is Republicans. It's not news. It's the view of the Republicans that are trying to get you to hate Democrats because they fundraise off of it all day long. How many politicians do you think around this country run for office knowing they have no chance of winning, but they can raise money because there's an issue that they can get people to rally around? It's just a game. It's a business. You got Kayleigh McEnany, who was the press secretary for Trump on Fox News. You've got Dana Perino, who was the press secretary for George Bush on Fox News. You have Paul Ryan, who was the Speaker of the House for the Republicans in management at Fox News. You have Trey Gowdy, who was the one who was going to take down Clinton. He had a show on Fox News, and I could name 75 other people that were in big-time politics in D.C. as Republicans that now work at Fox News. And then they throw in a token couple Democrats every now and again. But it is devised to make us fight one another. Mark Twain once said, as I get into elections, if elections were real, they wouldn't let us have them. I agree with that. The more I pay attention to the election system, I'm going to pose it like this. If the elected representatives of this country understood that, and they do, they all know this, that you no longer have confidence in the election system, not just in the state of Missouri, but around the country and around the world for that matter, wouldn't that be a priority for Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and ABC? Wouldn't it be a priority for those reporters and journalists to ask the representatives that come on that show, what is the plan to clean up our elections? Wouldn't that be number one? Because again, if you cannot vote out criminals within your government, well, then the criminals win. All they got to do is convince you that there's nothing going on here. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe those millions of people crossing the border illegally that are getting to vote. Don't believe that many of these big blue states give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants and then they have to use those driver's licenses to vote. Don't believe any of that. Don't believe the voter rolls are a mess. Don't believe that people are switching states and voting in one state and another. Don't believe that ballot harvesting is happening. Don't believe that election tabulators can be hacked. Don't believe the voting machines can be hacked. It's all just a figment of your imagination. Nothing to change here. Everything is hunky-dory. This is what they would have you believe. And it is absolutely bananas, insane, ridiculous. Sarah Unsicker, who I'm dying to have on the show. Sarah, come on, Sarah.
Come on.
I'm not looking to hurt you at all. I will keep it to one topic, the elections. We don't even need to talk about anything else. But if you have credible evidence that the elections in Missouri were manipulated, then you need to come forward not to the FBI and not to the press that's complicit, but to guys like me that just want to know where you're getting the information from, because you are a public servant and it is us, the people, that need to know what's going on. We need to know what's happening, not the FBI. Nobody trusts the FBI, Sarah. We need to know what is happening in our system. Now, I'm a fan of Joe Pags, and if you know what's going on here at News Talk STL, I will be taking his, he's a syndicated talk show host, I'll be taking his spot from 8 to 10 o'clock beginning on January the 29th. We're going to do a live show, 8 to 10 p.m.
Which will be followed by Pags.
Which will be followed by Pags for the last hour from 10 to 11. But I'm a Joe Pags fan. I think he's terrific. He's incredibly talented. He's one of these radio guys that is terrific, polished, understands the business, knows how to interview and ask questions.
Oh yeah,
I'm more of a just, you know, when I do a radio show, I picture somebody sitting across from me and we're just talking to one another. And it's a little bit different. I hope people start to enjoy it, because what the radio can do is allow people to have conversations. It's not TV where there's everybody starts to act when they get on TV. I told you, Phil, I was shooting a commercial with Phil, and as soon as the camera comes on, I turn into a different person. It's almost like I can't help it. I got to get better at it. But it is just one of those things when you know that you're visually, you're going to be seen. It distracts from the communication sometimes if you're looking into a camera and not looking into somebody's eyes. The radio allows for that type of communication, and I think it's fantastic. I had dinner with a guy named Jack Lane the other day. He is a Broadway producer, and he said he's been in radio forever, and he crystallized it for me. He said, radio is the imagination of the mind through a conversation where you don't have to put on a show because you're being videoed. And I thought that's exactly the way I see it. That's why I love radio. I love podcasting. I love audio because you can work, you can do whatever you want to do, and you can hear it in the background. You can go back and play it now that we have podcasts and everything else. Radio is freaking awesome. Let me get back to the elections because I'm off base. Joe Pags, and the reason I brought him up, he did an interview with this guy that is, now look, I think it's Seth Cattell. He is election integrity guy. He's a military member, some form of intelligence within the operation, military intelligence operation. And he says, it's the first time I've seen anybody say it but me. You don't have any other issues to be concerned about until you clean up the elections. All the other issues will be solved if we have people in positions of power that actually care about doing the people's business. If they are concerned about making money and getting wealthy and striking deals with the big money, because that's usually the corporations, if you're just trying to strike deals with big money, well, then ultimately you're not working for the people you represent. And then they can use the Democrat-Republican machine and use the media however they want to say, well, we just couldn't get this done, we couldn't get that done, we had to make this concession, we don't read the bills, we don't do anything, but this is just the way it is in politics. And we all go, yeah, it's probably really complicated. That's why there's a lot of attorneys in it. We just can't get anything done. That changes if people have confidence in their elections. That means that somebody who's just a middle-class worker, heart's in the right place, sees the middle class being destroyed day in and day out, recognizes that his kids aren't being educated properly, recognizes that he shouldn't be forced to stick a needle in his arm to keep his job or to travel, those types of people will start to run for office. Until then, it's going to be all connected people, everybody within the political system, and you're never going to have any change. You have got to be able to have a vibrant election process where everybody feels they have a chance to be in the game because they know the system is fair. And as of right now, whether it is fair or isn't fair, people don't believe that it's fair. And if people don't believe that it's fair, perception becomes reality, and we got a big problem going on. This is clip number 5-1. We're going to break it up. It's 2 minutes and 10 seconds long. I'm going to break it up as we go. This guy explains the 10 ways to solidify elections moving forward, and he describes it as the number one and most important issue in America. I think it's the most important issue in America, and I think it's the most important issue in the state of Missouri. Check this out.
I want to start off by telling you what we don't do.
Okay.
So I know people in states that are, I consider them, as far as elections are concerned, captured, where they have mail-in voting. They have to ballot harvest if they're going to compete at all. But as far as thinking we're going to win national elections by beating the Democrats.
Pause at that, Phil. Before he goes on any further, I just want to remind all of my Trump supporters, and I'm not trying to make you angry. I'm trying to make you think. If Donald Trump is the guy, I just want you to not be mad at everybody who disagrees that he is the savior, that he's got some secret plan that you don't know about yet, and it's all coming to fruition here in 2024. All I'm saying is think about this, because I believe that it's us. I believe it's an establishment versus free peoples of the world, and if we're going to get our establishment back in order, we have to take it. We have to take it by putting pressure on them, making sure that our elected representatives at the state level, at the local level, do as we want them to do and expose the people that are pulling the wool over our eyes. That's it. I'm not looking for a violent revolution. I'm saying the more you understand the direction that this country is going, because it's an international scheme, we're just one of the state. Think of the if the United States were the world, we're just a state. The United States is just a state in the world, and we have resources and military things that they want, and they're trying to consolidate power and strip us of our constitutional rights drip by drip by drip. And now you're starting to see it take shape. They build a prison around you as you're playing games and you're going to work and you're just not noticing it. Your life's getting a little worse, but they build this infrastructure around you and then they lock the doors. It takes a while to build it around you. It's not easy. We believe in our constitutional rights, but you know, generation after generation, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And everybody who's of age knows it. We've watched our freedoms go away. This whole society is bread and circus, almost the entire society. It's incredible. But Donald Trump, on these elections, he said we're going to have to beat them at their own game. And I said that was ridiculous at the time. I said, so whoever cheats the best takes over the country. That doesn't seem like a great plan to me. This guy here is saying that is the thing that you do not do, because you can put a system in place that basically ensures your elections as good as you possibly can. Continue on, Phil.
Game, ballot harvesting or ballot chasing, as people are calling it, it's fool's gold. Because if they can pull the populations or the voting turnout of places like Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, even to those cities and their counties' share of the state population, they'll bury us just in sheer proportion size. So it's going to take a strong united front in pushing these 10 points to true election integrity in the legislative chambers that are controlled by strong Republicans. We don't have enough action from Republican states to make lasting change. The first point is to clean out the voter rolls. That is the most critical point. It's the foundation of good or bad elections. Second point is to ban all electronic voting systems. The third point is to enforce voter ID on paper ballots counted by hand at the precinct, reported from the precinct. Number four is to severely restrict mail-in voting. And that is to limit it, in my view, to overseas military and legitimately disabled.
Yes.
Number five, severely restrict early voting. That's a big issue, too. We have several weeks of early voting where these mail ballots are flying around and harvesters are collecting them. Number six, we need to reduce the sizes of our precincts. we have precincts in Maricopa County, for instance, that have more than 10,000 registered voters who are now voting at countywide voting centers. So with precincts that big, we can't turn out the entire roll in one day, which I'll get to. Number 7 is to ban ballot harvesting. 8 is to make Election Day a national holiday. Ooh. So point number 9 is new reporting requirements for transparency. A good example would be Nevada, where Clark and Washoe counties make up 87% of the statewide vote. The other 15 counties only make up 13%. So when they're allowed to hold back and not report votes for a week and everyone else is at 95% of just a few ballots relatively, that's creating a serious appearance of impropriety where people do not trust the elections. And then the last point is heavy prison sentences for those that are committing election fraud.
I think prison sentences... I think that's a great idea. I think everything that he said are things that we have talked about on this show. Every single solitary one of them. You have to take away these big counties that vote, because anytime you can consolidate things, you can start to manipulate them. So you want them in small little bites. You want a national holiday. What is more important than our elections in a free society? What is it? We're going to have Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. Why couldn't we have one Monday out of the year be Election Day or Tuesday, whatever day we want to vote? Tuesday is Election Day and everything is shut down. We're all watching the election system. There's going to be no shenanigans because it is, we're all involved. It's a big deal. We tell our kids it's a big deal. We use the media to tell people it's a big deal. We begin to get our country back by taking it in the direction we want to take it. If I put that before the Missouri legislatures, and I'm gonna, that's going to be a big part of my show, is to fix the elections. It will go through Jay Ashcroft before 2024 because he's the Secretary of State and that's where it originates from. So, Jay, we want cleaned up elections. We don't want to hear the legal reasons why we can't do what the citizens want. I believe there is something called the initiative petition. Phil, am I right?
You are right.
Where we can bypass the legislatures and say this is what we want. And we don't want this to be on the ballot and voted with the same shenanigans that we don't trust in the first place. I believe that once we get to the bottom of the elections, that all of the other issues that we are concerned about will come to fruition. And I'm not saying that every county is corrupt. I'm not saying that. But statewide elections, where you get into St. Louis and Kansas City, where things might be just a little shaky, I'm just saying, they can influence the outcome of statewide elections. Governor, lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, the attorney general. Those are big positions that determine where we're going to go as a state, and those statewide elections need to be cleaned up. Remember that I talked about NewsGuard last week? Well, it came right back to us. We're going to talk about NewsGuard in hour number 2. We'll be right back.
The Ron Carter Show.
It's a put on.
SR1 Sundays, The Rob Carter Show. SR1 Sundays.
I should have called him Big Richard Cheney, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
No. But his name is, you know, it is what it is. What am I going to do? That just was a... came off the top.
It was all right.
I wasn't even thinking through it. I was, you know, it was not meant to be.
It was natural.
It was natural. I want to talk about NewsGuard in the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week I talked about NewsGuard because remember when I said they build the prison around you and then they lock the key? One of the big problems we have going on in this country is censorship. Because your information on social media is now being algorithmed, if you haven't noticed. So we know that we have a corrupt media establishment. I think we've made that very clear. We talked about ABC and Whoopi Goldberg and Liz Cheney, the hardcore conservative, going on ABC and talking to The View. We talked about Pat McAfee, who is now the biggest and fastest growing sports host in America, not allowing Aaron Rodgers to talk about what is now known and obvious about the vaccines and about the COVID con job. I went through all of the different narratives that we knew were, that we now know are BS, that Fox News and CNN and MSNBC drove and beat down your throat. All lies, all made up, all perpetuated by the corporate press. And then our politicians still go on those outlets for their debates. It's just crazy. There's got to be a better way. There has to be a better way. Now, there's this company out there called NewsGuard. We talked about it last week. NewsGuard is going to put labels on information they determine. There's multiple angles to NewsGuard. NewsGuard. But it's run by some of the most powerful people in this country and around the world to suppress information they deem as misinformation. And we saw how that worked, didn't we? Didn't we see how that worked with the Twitter files where they were suppressing information about the COVID con job and suppressing information about the manipulated elections? Couldn't talk about that. That's where you can't go. Those two areas, we just can't talk about it. It's too hard for people. It's just not real. It's all conspiracy theory. Don't believe your lying eyes and ears. NewsGuard, which is through the World Economic Forum, and there's a whole bunch of different entities that are involved in NewsGuard, they would have the ability to label information and then drag sponsors away from that information. So if you wanted to have real news out there and you wanted a corporate sponsor, you can't, because they're going to be destroyed by bigger entities through this company called NewsGuard. NewsGuard will, in essence, say that whatever the theme is coming out of the United Nations, coming out of whatever fake narratives the establishment wants to shove down your throat, if you have a counter to that narrative, they can label it misinformation and withhold all your advertising dollars. That's what they got lined up. And there's some big names involved in it. So when I got wind of it from this guy named Mike Benz, I did research into it. Turns out everything he says is true. All of the people involved are true. And then when I started to look through their associations and who they are, it's an incredibly, incredibly scary situation. But you're not going to hear about it. Fox News isn't going to talk about NewsGuard all day long. No, you'll not hear it. They're not going to talk because NewsGuard is news. That's news you need to know. That's the prison cell being built around you. That's information you might want to know. But I don't think that it's going to be on Jesse Waters tonight. I don't think that Brett Baer is going to talk about it in the evening news, in quotation marks. I just don't believe that's going to happen. And that's a real problem. So what happened between last week and this week is that this guy, Mike Benz, gets Vivek Ramaswamy into a car. I don't know why Vivek is doing interviews in cars, but he's done a couple here recently. And Mike Benz is quizzing him about censorship, and then he brings up NewsGuard. This is a long clip, so we're going to just work our way through it. This is, where are we at here?
It's 5-5?
Yeah, it's 5-5, I think.
Where I think so.
Yep, 5-5. Okay. So this is clip number 5-5. This is Vivek Ramaswamy and Mike Benz, and listen to how bad this answer is by Ramaswamy, who by most standards is giving all of the right answers for people like me. He's almost like he's been listening to my show and getting the information out there. But in this one, if you really pay attention to his answer on this question, I don't love it. Here is Vivek Ramaswamy and Mike Benz talking about NewsGuard. Check this out.
Okay,
that was an easy one.
Okay, now onto the advertising issue. One of the things that's happening right now that's choking out platforms is the weaponization of advertiser dollars in order to kill things to misinformation sites. So, for example, there's a company called NewsGuard, which purports to assign news nutrition labels to independent websites. Now, it turns out, while they call themselves an independent rating system, on their board is Michael Hayden, former head of the CIA, NSA, four-star general. Rick Stengel, who was Obama's propagandist in chief in the State Department, who was the head of the Global Engagement Center, which is the censorship arm there. Tom Ridge, the head of DHS, and Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the head of NATO. So you have this sort of, just like you were saying, it's a government intermediate thing. But they assign news nutrition labels to websites like Epic Times and One American News, whatever. They say, oh, you are fake news, essentially. And then they then operate in a cartel-like fashion with the World Economic Forum's advertising arm, GARM, it's called, the Global Alliance for Responsible Media. And their goal is to kill $2.6 billion in programmatic ad spend to websites who are deemed to be fake news. And it all targets either conservative or left-wing anti-war voices, basically anybody who doesn't belong to the DC Uniparty. And this is a cute new trick that they are using to try to kill the messengers because they can't stop all the messages.
I want people to understand this. Global Alliance for Responsible Media is out of the World Economic Forum. You got to remember, this is when people think the World Economic Forum is this figure out there that doesn't really mean anything. This is where the money in the world is centered. And if you believe that money controls the world, then you have to pay attention to where all the money is at. These are where the big corporations, the actors that work on behalf of those corporations, the politicians, the scientists, oligarchs. It's where all of the money comes to figure out how to get more money for themselves and less money for you and I. That's what they're doing under the guise that they're trying to help you out. They're always trying, all them billionaires and trillionaires just trying to help you out. As absurd as that may seem, that's the way they sell it, and that's why it works. And when Donald Trump goes there, and when our politicians go there, when our CIA goes there, and when very powerful people go to the World Economic Forum, as, by the way, Vivek Ramaswamy was a young global leader at the World Economic Forum. Ramaswamy was involved in the COVID response in Ohio. This is who Vivek Ramaswamy, this is his past. Make of it what you will, because all the things that he's saying now, I like. But I don't like the fact that he was ever in contact with the World Economic Forum, and I don't like the fact that he's making billions of dollars off of a company that's never created a penny. It makes it look just a little suspicious to me. Because this is a very complicated game, politics. Very complicated. And when you can control the message, you can do anything you want. Anything, if you can control the message. Our message is being controlled. Global Alliance for Responsible Media. Okay, remember that. That's a part that's involved with NewsGuard. So just write those two things down or make a note in your head, because as that picture starts to clear, you're going to recognize that it is not the United States. Listen, let me read it to you one more time so you understand what it says. Global Alliance for Responsible Media. Why would we need a global response for media, a responsibility for media? I just care about the United States and what we find out here. I want our press to be free and fair right here in America. Whatever anybody else does, let them have it.
I don't want a global response to anything. Except aliens.
Well, when they're coming.
Okay.
Ask Tucker. Tucker knows they're coming. Let's get back into this, because I want you to hear how this is a babbling answer by Vivek Ramaswamy. And I want you to hear it when he gets to it. Just think if it makes any sense to you. When you get done with it, go, oh, I get it. I know what he's going to do. Check this out.
So my more targeted question to you is, do you have a plan for being able to deal with the issues around the use of these mass boycott type activities when there is a government nexus? And will you commit to trying to take on the news cartel formation that's happening right now around the ad space and online news?
So the answer is, when there's a government nexus, yes. And I can tell you're very thoughtful about this. The way you framed that question was the right way to frame it. When there's a government nexus, yes. I don't want the government being in the business of telling nonprofits who are auditing what they can and cannot do, because that would then be weaponized to use against us, which is what we actually use.
He doesn't want him to get involved in nonprofits. Let me explain something to you what NGOs are. Non-governmental operations. They're bigger than the government. They control the government. Nobody should be restricting free speech, period, end of sentence. It is up to the listener, the viewer, the information taker to make what they will of it. When you've already recognized that the government and the media apparatus has been lying to you for decades at a very high level about very important things like wars and pandemics, then you can't trust them to be the answer to whether something is true or not. They cannot. It's just not their job in a society that's First Amendment is free speech. And I think this answer by Vivek Ramaswamy is very telling, because he's a shrewd character. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He has all the answers to the questions. He does a great job around the clock, if you pay attention to him, of answering questions that are very difficult. He's exposing a lot of the media. He's exposing the club in D.C. But there's times when you get really, when you're really paying attention to his answers that you scratch your head. This answer makes no sense to me. Continue on, Phil.
Some kind of center for media accountability that's actually neutral as opposed to the World Economic Forum stooge version of it. So that's on us. I mean, our movement has not created something to hold the media accountable. The media is supposed to hold the government accountable. They failed to do that. Who's holding the media accountable? The answer right now is nobody other than these pretend pop-up organizations. So the World Economic Forum is poison, and obviously they have their own agenda. We shouldn't be funding them directly or indirectly. So one easy answer is stop funding any institution that's hostile to our own sovereignty as the United States of America. World Economic Forum, WHO, UN, all fit that description. But as it relates to here, there's a government nexus to advance that agenda. I mean, that's what NPR actually is.
Yep.
Effectively a government state media arm, that we don't call it that.
Right.
Those vestiges will be gone on my watch.
See there, you don't, I guarantee if you're listening to this out there, you're going, I don't know, what does it mean? I don't understand what he's talking about. But what you should take away from it is, he believes there should be something. He calls it neutral, that determines whether news is real or not. Well, first of all, there's never going to be a neutral source.
Exactly.
So to even say it is ridiculous. And he knows it. He's not, this is not a dumb person. This is a very bright person. And the reality of it is there should be no guardrails on free speech. If it's explicit, these types of things, we have all kinds of different ways to keep that out from the ears of young people and so forth and so on. But when you're talking about information, is COVID-19, was that a real pandemic? Would it have been as destructive as it was had we had information available to us? If our government and our media was not restricting information about it, would we be in the situation we are in today? And the answer is no. If the media wasn't determining whether elections were rigged or on the up and up, if they were doing their job, all they would have to do is say, listen, we work on behalf of the people to hold power accountable. And the people, it appears, do not have faith in the election system. So, Mr. Trump, what is your plan to fix the election system? Mr. Ramaswamy, what is your plan to fix the election system? Mr. Biden, what is your plan to fix the election system? Mr. DeSantis, what is your plan to fix the election system? And as you notice, this is not a big question for the corporate press. And I just have to ask you, why? Why would it not be the most important question in a republic and in a democracy? Sometimes the easiest way to figure out what's going on is observing what questions the media doesn't ask. That's the easiest way to figure it all out. Because any decent journalist would look at what's going on and say, these people aren't asking the questions that I want to know. These people are asking the questions that keep me fighting with my neighbor. Segment number 5. We'll be right back.
The Rob Carter Show. SR1 Sundays. SR1 Sundays. The Rob Carter Show.
Phil, when I was about 10 years old, let that rock a little bit because I like Heart. This was back in the album days, and I lived over by the airport and had a buddy of mine, Jeff Mills, who lived right down the street from me. And I traded. This is back in the days when you were 10 years old and you stayed in the house when your parents worked, and I was there all by myself all day long with then my friends would hang out and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he's over and he wants to trade for my mom's Heart album. So I traded her Heart album for one of the albums that he had in his mom's collection, and it did not go over well with my mom. She said, you get that album back right now. Go get that album back. When she found out that I traded, she went to play it and the Heart album was gone and she freaked out. That's what that reminds me of every time. Isn't that weird how life works?
That's a horrible thing to do.
I know. Oh, he had the album, so I went and got it. But I'm just saying, when you're 10 years old, you're like, eh, I don't think my mom will miss the heart out.
I just want to know what you got for it.
I can't remember. I just remember heart because my mom.
Mel Torme or something?
I don't like Mel Torme. I don't think it was. I think it was Message in a Bottle, Sting. That song was out right around the same time, and I think I traded it for a Sting album. Or Police.
That's the Police. Police, yeah, right? Yeah. Very good.
Anyway, let me get into elections here because I haven't finished with the elections, and then we'll get into, we're going to get into Speaker Johnson. All these things tie together if you pay really close attention to them. These are just some of the breaking news that was out there this last week about elections. Wisconsin Patriots have begun a recall of the State House Speaker, Robin Voss, for blocking accountability for election thieves like Megan Wolf. This is a quote from a guy named Pete Berniger. He is an assembly representative of District 63 in Wisconsin. A 60-day petition drive is underway right now. 6,850 valid signatures needed. Here's another one. A Wisconsin judge has ruled that an absentee voting van that was used in the 2022 midterm election was illegal and that state law doesn't permit the use of any mobile absentee voting sites. Let me get another one here. There's like 50. I'm just going to give you some headlines. New evidence revealed. This is by the Gateway Pundit. GBI Strategies employee who turned in fraudulent Muskegon voter registrations gives stunning interview, lists urban cities where organization operates in Michigan and nationwide. And then there was a video, but the video audio was so bad I can't play it. Here's another one out of Arizona. 10,000 illegal aliens using the same exact Social Security number voted in the 2020 election. Confirmed, Maricopa County Election Director Christy Passarelli via Brian Ramirez deleted the results of the 2020 election from server. This is from DC Drano. This guy absolutely is in love with Donald Trump, so this is what he puts out about elections. They will not release the J6 tapes. They won't allow forensic election audits. They won't allow signature match analysis. They won't allow Georgia ballots to be examined in court. They deleted footage of drop boxes and ballot data. All of these things are true. Why is the corporate press and their complicit politicians in D.C. not talking about elections? Why is the whole country not talking about cleaning up elections first? Once you get elections fixed, and you know that the people you've voted for are now representing you, now we can get something done like the borders and the CRT and the changing genders in our schools and on and on and on. But you can't do it if a group of criminals working together as Democrats and Republicans have a little game for you so that they can take all the money and suppress your rights. Then it doesn't work as well. I want to get into Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana. Now, my take on it is you could not get unanimous vote to be Speaker of the House. That's where the money comes from. That's the purse strings in D.C. And I said it from day one. You cannot get a person to get to get every vote. It was unanimous unless they knew they could manipulate the guy. I don't know whether he's good, bad, or indifferent. I don't even care. I'm just tired of spending money on wars and so forth and bankrupting our future right before our very eyes while we have a border that's wide open that nobody seems to be able to fix. They just can't do it. This is from General Michael Flynn, military intelligence attached to Donald Trump. It says, at real Donald Trump is slightly incorrect in these remarks. This is what he puts out on Twitter. Let me start one more time. This is General Michael Flynn on Twitter/X. At real Donald Trump is slightly incorrect in these remarks. We won't end up in World War III. We are in World War III. There is a global alliance already formed against the United States, and many of these nations are funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars to the tune of billions of dollars. This is why I bring up Speaker Mike Johnson. This is where the money's coming from. This is what they're voting on with these big omnibus bills and these NDAAs. This is money you and I aren't tracking. Billions of dollars being spread all over the world as we suffer to pay for gas and food. It continues on with Michael Flynn. We must end these endless wars, shut down these globalist institutions, starting with the UN. They cost us everything and do nothing. And we must close our border and start immediate deportation before we lose everything. This isn't a cry for nationalism. This is a plea for sanity and patriotism to those who still believe America can be the true North Star for the rest of the world. This is from Simon Atiba. He's a White House correspondent. It says, breaking, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene explodes, says she's had enough with at Speaker Johnson and may need to be fired. She spoke in a heated podcast with Steve Bannon. Every day Mike Johnson gets closer and closer to this deal brings me closer and closer to vacating the chair because I have absolutely had it, she said, referring to the budget deal that sends more money for wars and virtually nothing for what the Republican base really wants. Breaking, House Freedom Caucus members are considering a motion to vacate Speaker Mike Johnson for his collusion with Democrats to screw America once again with a new spending bill. I'm leaving it on the table. I'm not going to say I'm going to go file it tomorrow. I'm not saying I'm going to file it tomorrow. I think the speaker needs to know that we're angry about it. That is from Chip Roy. To add context, the compromise does almost nothing for border security. It authorizes $60 billion to Ukraine and $14 billion to Israel. Let me read that last line because we're going to talk about Ukraine here in just a minute. To add context, the compromise does almost nothing for border security, which is what you and I want, but it authorizes $60 billion with a B dollars to Ukraine and $14 billion with a B dollars to Israel. Very interesting. We'll get to Ukraine in just a minute. This is from Mike Lee. Remember Mike Lee? Senator from Utah. Was one of the names being bounced around for Supreme Court of the United States. He says the law firm of Schumer, McConnell, Johnson, and Jeffries has not served Republicans or America well. This spending package is a huge victory for Democrats, for the swamp, and for the firm. It's bad for everyone else, especially Republicans. It is a hornet's nest up there, kids. It is bad news in D.C. You're getting no help, but if you want to go fight a war in Ukraine, they got endless amounts of money for Ukraine. They have endless amounts of money for Israel. But for some reason, they just don't have enough money for you and I. Gonzalo Lira. Because I want to talk about Ukraine for just a minute. Gonzalo Lira is an American journalist who was in Ukraine. He was arrested for speaking out about Biden and Zelensky. Well, he recently died as his father predicted would happen if he was arrested again, which he was, on the Tucker Carlson show. So Gonzalo Lira, an American journalist, was held in a Ukrainian prison for criticizing Zelensky and Biden. That's interesting. If we'll get clip number 5-3 ready, I want you to hear this American journalist named Gonzalo Lira talking about Zelensky. Clip number 5-3. This is what gets you put in prison in Ukraine, where we are sending billions of dollars to fight for democracy. See if this makes any sense to you. Clip number 5-3. Go.
Zelensky and Hunter Biden have a great deal in common, and you should be aware of it. You see, Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, well, the cokehead of Kiev, because he is a cokehead, the cokehead of Kiev is actually a manufactured political figure. He was manufactured by a Ukrainian-Israeli Cypriot oligarch called Igor Kolomoisky. Now, Igor Kolomoisky was the man who owns 1+1 Media here in Ukraine. And 1+1 Media is the company that financed and produced the TV show Servant of the People. And Servant of the People hired Zelensky, a well-known actor in Ukraine, an actor with zero political experience or even any political interest. Well, they hired him to play the role of the president in this show, Servant of the People. Now, Servant of the People had huge ratings, but a lot of people say that it was really weird the amount of propaganda and PR that was done for the show. It was disproportionate to any other show of any channel. The amount of PR, positive press, and all the rest of it. It was really pushed on the people. Some people say it was completely astroturfed. Some people who know how to speak Ukrainian and who have watched the show have told me that it's a mildly enjoyable show, but no big deal. But anyway, the show was hugely popular. And it ran from 2015 to 2018.
Pay attention.
And almost seamlessly, Kolomoisky, the oligarch, created a party called Servant of the People, same name as the TV show. And their candidate was Zelensky, a man with no previous political experience and indeed no previous political interest. And Kolomoisky financed Zelensky to the point that Zelensky today is a billionaire.
So I want you to think about that. Let me kind of break it down for you for just a minute. Zelensky was an actor. Let's say it's Tom Cruise, right? Zelensky is an actor in Ukraine who is the lead actor on a very popular television show called Servant of the People. There's an outsider that comes in and finances Zelensky, starts a party called Servant of the People, and takes the lead actor from this show in Ukraine and turns him into the president of the United States. And we're sending money over there for this farce. It's bizarre. It's obviously a CIA global intelligence operation for whatever reason they got going over. There's a million reasons they could be doing it. That's where Hunter Biden was. That's where Pelosi's kid was. That's where Kerry's kid was. They were all over in Ukraine for some reason. Victoria Nuland and Kagan and that whole group of people, if you're really deep into politics, these are shady characters. And as you remember, because I played it on this show, just talking about Ukraine, Victoria Nuland, in front of the Senate, answers a question by Marco Rubio, do we have biological factories in Ukraine? And she said, yes. But they're not, you know, I mean, if anything happens to those, it'll be because of the Russians. We got to pay attention to our own backyard, kids. It's not Russia that's our problem. It is America that is our problem. It is the politicians in D.C. and these global oligarchies and these corporations that have merged into one that are controlling the information that we take in. That is our problem. On the media and the... I just got two more for you. I just got to play these clips because I love them so much. If you get clip 6-5 ready, we only got a couple minutes. I'm going to play these very quickly. This is Mike Pence, the former Vice President of the United States, talking about January 6th, because we just passed it up and there was a lot of talk about it. Listen to this. Clip number 6-5, Jake Tapper, Mike Pence, about January 6th and the FBI.
You know, I've seen the director of the FBI repeatedly assure the American people that the FBI were not the instigators of the riot that occurred on January 6th. And frankly, I'm very grateful for the efforts of the FBI to bring nearly 1,000 people to justice who ransacked our Capitol and did violence against police officers that day. But you're right. We've been assured again and again that it was not the case. And I just must tell you, having been there that day, I mean, to see people literally breaking windows, ransacking the Capitol, it just infuriated me. I remember thinking, you know, not this, not here, not at the United States Capitol. And I believe everyone that conducted that that riot at the Capitol needs to be held to the fullest extent of the law. I'm pleased that many have, but I've never been given any information. I've heard the many repeated assurances from the FBI that they were not involved, and I take them at their word.
He takes the FBI at their word. No mention of what happened in Michigan, where it is now public knowledge that the FBI entrapped citizens at the state capitol in Michigan. Two people were acquitted because the information came out. It was an entrapment scheme.
They did violence.
But our GOP guy, the Vice President of the United States under Trump, goes on CNN with dopey Jake Tapper, and says, hey, if the FBI tells me it's true.
Repeatedly.
I mean, they've done it several times. Then it's true. I take them at their word. Everybody that is former VP of your United States, Mike Pence. Final segment of this glorious and freezing Sunday evening when we return.
The Rob Carter Show. SR1 Sundays. Rob Carter Show.
Oh, I used to love that song when I was a kid.
Oh.
Belinda Carlisle. Very nice.
Maybe it was a Go-Go's record you traded for.
No, it was not a Go-Go's record. I don't think my mom was into the Go-Go's. She's a little more classic rock back in the day. But I do like that song. I've got to play this other clip because it's just... I wanted to play it last segment. I got long-winded and I missed it. But it's clip number 66 because we're talking about how fake and phony the media obviously is. And I want you to continue to ask yourself, why are our politicians, especially on the right, who have deemed it fake news... I read you 50 narratives earlier in the show that we now know were fake. Why are the people that represent us, this is the most powerful nation in the world, supposedly. We're the freest nation in the world. Why are our politicians going on what they deem to be fake news platforms and holding debates? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever unless you start to recognize that they're in cahoots with one another. They work together. I know you don't want to believe it. I know it's hard to understand. I know it's ridiculous in some people's minds, but if you just pay attention to it long enough, it becomes so blatantly obvious it hurts your stomach that people don't want to believe it. This is MSNBC, who, if you're on the right, you know this is a criminal operation of propaganda here. But listen to this guy. I'm not even going to give you his name because it's too dopey. I don't want to give him any. I don't even want to give him any credibility whatsoever. But he is talking to another criminal from J6, this Ferone character, who supposedly was just, oh my God, everything's so bad on January 6th.
Get your tissues ready, babe.
Get your tissues ready, because this is how he begins the segment, interviewing this, I think he was a cop, I think he was a plant. He's got tattoo. He looks like he just got released from prison, and he's supposedly a January 6th police officer, the Ferone character, if you know who he is. But this is the MSNBC guy, very flamboyant host, if you understand what I'm saying. And here is how he addressed the first question with Ferone on MSNBC about January 6th. Check this out.
I'm going to try to get through this. Thank you for what you did 3 years ago today. Please tell me your thoughts on this third anniversary.
That's all I need to hear. What I wanted to get at there is just, you might want to get it lined up one more time. It's so fake and so transparent and so ridiculous that anybody who can think rationally at all that understands what's going on in our media could spot this and say, there's a guy that's doing an act. Not only the interviewer is acting, but the person being interviewed is acting. And it's framed as news, MSNBC news. It's not news, it's an act. Play it one more time for me, Phil, just the beginning.
I'm going to try to get through this. Thank you for what you did 3 years ago today. Please tell me your thoughts on this third anniversary.
I believe he grabs tissues and starts wiping his eyes right before he asks that. The three-year anniversary of January 6th. What an absolute clown. If you have any information for me, I've been getting a lot of tips lately now that I'm getting into Missouri politics, which I'm going to turn to here in just a minute. So I have a lot of people now bending my ear with information that they have, and I'm trying to get an understanding of who's who in Missouri politics. Not saying that anybody's corrupt, but I have a feeling there might be a few. We have a supermajority of Republicans. We don't really get Republican legislature or conservative legislation out of Jefferson City, and I'm wondering why. I just want to know why. I don't get it. So I've offered Sarah Unsicker a stage to come on my show when it begins on January 29th. She can come on and we can have a conversation. Again, I'm not trying to hurt any of these politicians. I think they'll hurt themselves by the way they answer the questions. I've offered Mike Moon to come in and have a conversation with me. I hear good things about him. Bill Igel's been on the show many times. Peter Pfeiffer's been on the show. Will Scharf, who's running for Attorney General, has been on the show. I'd like to have Mr. Bailey on the program. I absolutely have to have Jay Ashcroft on the show. If I don't have Jay Ashcroft on the show, nothing else matters, because I want to understand how the elections are going to go down, and I want to understand why Jay Ashcroft has not been more outspoken about all of the different methods that we can use to solidify elections, especially statewide elections in Missouri. I want to know. I hear great things about Jay Ashcroft, long history and family in politics here in Missouri. John Ashcroft, of course, the Attorney General under G.W. Bush. So I would like some information from Secretary of State Ashcroft as soon as humanly possible, because I got some questions that I think the voters of Missouri need answers to. Most recently, I saw this on X and Twitter. This is from Bill Igel, and I've interviewed Bill Igel twice. He likes to talk, as he says. He is a hardcore conservative, positioning himself as the outsider against the establishment. And he put this out on Twitter/X. It says, rule change to require 2 legislative days before passing omnibus bills. So he frames it as though the legislatures require 2 days to read the bills that are coming before them before they make a decision, because a lot of these guys are just getting recaps. They don't know if there's something hidden within the bill. And then they sign it before their staff has had time to read it. On the surface, I'm thinking, how could anybody with a straight face vote against that? Why wouldn't we require 48 hours so that people that are voting on the bills have time to digest what's in them before they vote? Seems fairly logical. Of the, what do we got here? There were 30 Republican voters in the Senate. 7 voted for that bill. 23 did not. I have not heard the other side, so let me give you any one of the. Here are the people that said, nah, I don't think that 2 days to read bills make any sense to me. And there may be more to the story. I always understand that there could be more to the story, so I'm saying that right up front. I'm not saying there's anything nefarious going on here. There may be perfectly good reasons for not supporting this bill. I just don't know what they are.
But it's okay to ask.
I think it's okay to ask.
Yeah.
So Bean, Bernskatter, Black, Brown of the 16th. Who we got here? Sirpiot, Crawford, Fitzwater, Gannon, Hugh, Ho, Koenig, Lutkenmeyer, who's retiring, O'Loughlin, Roden, Thompson, Renner, and Trent all said, don't need it.
These are the nays.
Those are the nays. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why anybody would need time to read a bill. It's ridiculous. The 7 people who voted for it seem to be Freedom Caucus members, which is interesting because we just talked about the Freedom Caucus last week. This is a franchise coming out of D.C. by Jim Jordan and filtering into the states. And now we have our own Tim Jones, former Speaker of the House, right out of News Talk STL, who's organizing these group of people. And I want to see what they have to say. So the 7 yeses were Bratton, Brown out of the 16th, or 26th, I'm sorry, Brown out of the 26th, Carter, Igel,
yep,
Hoskins,
yep,
Moon, who I've invited on the show, and Nick Schroer, who will be on right after my show. They all voted to give 2 days for each senator to read bills before they make a determination on them. So if you have information, again, I was getting to this point. If you have information for me, if you are a politician that wants to get the word out, I have 2 hours. We can talk all day if you want, because I got a lot of questions for a lot of people. Not trying to hurt you, just got questions for you. I would love to have you on the show. The way to get a hold of me is, get your pen ready, therobshowhost@gmail.com. Just send me an email, therobshowhost@gmail.com. If you have tips about what's going on around town, if you see something nefarious that needs to be addressed, send me an email. If you're a politician who says there's something crooked going on here, I want to explain something to the Missouri voters before we vote on it. Again, you can go to therobshowhost@gmail.com. Therobshowhost@gmail.com. And again, beginning on January 29th, 2024, at 8 p.m., live from 8 to 10, we'll be doing our daily show. And I have every intention on shining a spotlight on Missouri politicians, the press here in Missouri, as well as continuing to cover the presidential election and goings-on around the world that need to be addressed, because you're not going to get the full story out of a complicit, corrupt press covering a corrupt group of very sinister people, if you ask me, or very weak people. I don't know which one it is, but I would call it the D.C. criminal gang. Something's not right up there. There's no there's nobody that thinks we should be $35 trillion in debt and living the lives we lead. There's nobody in Missouri that believes we should be paying personal property taxes on our car. There's nobody in Missouri that believes we should have hiked the gas tax with a Republican legislature. Nobody believes these things. But they do continue to happen, and there's a lot of questions as to why. I think we should get down to it. I think we need somebody in the press, and I'm going to urge everybody in the press, not just me. There's no I don't have a big enough microphone yet. Remember I said yet. I don't have a big enough microphone yet to make big changes, but there are a lot of talk show hosts around here that I believe are on the side of right, and all I want is to begin to engage them in real questions. What I see and what I notice here and everywhere in the country is that when you get these politicians in, it's a nice get sometimes if they're big, and then you want to hug them and love on them because they came in and gave you an interview. It's good for you. This is supposed to be a free press that holds power accountable, and when it gets down to brass tacks, you got to ask tough questions and see how people respond to them. It's not gotcha. There'll be no gotchas with me. It's not the game I'm playing. Just simple questions for Missouri voters that need to be answered, and they're going to be answered one way or another. By not answering, you're answering. Diversity training. I've just got a few more minutes left, so I got a few random things I want to bring to your attention. I saw this. This is Alaska Airlines. Libs of TikTok put this out on Twitter and X. They had diversity training, and they want to celebrate the gay movement. Check this out, because I just thought it was, if you see the commercial, you got to be able to visualize it. The very first guy is in the terminal, and he's singing a song, something gay this, something gay that, and they're all cheering for this. Then it moves out, and it shows the Alaska plane, and it's got the gay... What is it? Rainbow all over it. And then they show transvestites and transgender and whatever they got going on. They're moving up and down the aisles of the plane.
They got it all.
It's a promo for gayness. I just think it's funny. Let's check it out. Alaska Airlines.
Gay.
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 When I say gay, you say gay.
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 When I say gay, you say gay.
I like that song.
Wow.
Now you get to see, now they show the plane and they show the...
That is gay.
The song, when this song comes on, it is with the men dressed up in a lot of makeup, walking down the aisle, handing peanuts and snacks out to people. I thought that was...
It's gay.
It's very gay. I mean, if gayness matters to your airline, then we're pro-gay. This is another thing I don't get about some of these social issues. What happened to a colorless society? What happened to not caring whether it was a man or a woman? It was all based on merit. Isn't that what America was originally supposed to be about? Isn't that the concept of America? A melting pot where you get to keep your own money. You get to elect your own officials in a representative republic government. Isn't that the way it was supposed to be? Now, everything, it doesn't matter what it is, it's divided. We just had to buy this stupid game on Peacock. Because we wanted to watch we had to pay the $5.99 because I wanted to watch the Chiefs and the Dolphins. We had to pay $5.99, and one of the questions on there is, what is your gender? What difference does it make what my gender is when I'm buying a football game on Peacock? It's unbelievable what's going on in this country. And you got to remember, if we are divided like anything else in the world, just think about if you come from a divorced family. If you are a child of divorce, or you went through a divorce, when you divide the top, doesn't everything start to get more complicated underneath? We are being divided, and it's making our society very split, contentious, anxious, irritable, because you're looking at everybody as binary, non-binary, he, her, he, him, she, they, these ridiculous pronouns and so forth. It's all meant to divide. It has to stop. It is absolutely absurd. We should no longer put up with it. If you're somebody who believes in that, you have lost your marbles. That's all I got for you, everybody. Nick Schroer on deck. Don't forget, one more shameless plug. January 29th of this month, The Rob Show goes live from 8 to 10 p.m. Daily show. I can't wait, to be honest with you. I'm very excited about the opportunity.
It's going
to
be great, man. I'm excited.
And one more thing. Last time, if you have any information for me, therobshowhost@gmail.com. Have a great Sunday evening, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday at 6 o'clock on The Rob Carter Show.
The Rob Carter Show.
SR1.